Let's talk about coffee and Chinese medicine. What does coffee do? Is it good for us? Is it not good for us? How much can I have without too much detriment? What does coffee do to our bodies and for our bodies in a Chinese medicine sense? Let's get into the video. If you're new here and you haven't subscribed yet, make sure you click that subscribe button. I know you want to. I can't wait to hit 10K subscribers this year. So be part of the dream, be part of it. Coffee is good for us and it's bad for us. And it's a part of many people's lives, everyday life. It can be detrimental to us in some aspects, but it can also have some benefits. So let's talk about both of them. And how does it do those things, the detriments, the benefits in Chinese medicine? Why is coffee more detrimental to some people than others? Why, for some people, they can handle one or two cups and others can't even handle hardly half a cup of coffee. So we're going to talk about that, and at the end of this video, you'll understand why that is, and to make it make sense for yourself what you should do with the coffee. Before we get started into that, we firstly have to differentiate: are you going to have milk in your coffee? So when people ask me questions on the channel, oh, how many coffees should I have, or how many coffees would be detrimental, or is coffee bad for you? The first thing I want to know is, are you putting a lot of milk in it? Now, this is how I like my coffee because I just was making this video. I had to make another coffee, so I can speak from first-hand experience. I do love coffee. So if it's got milk in it, it's definitely going to cause you more dampness than something that doesn't have milk. If you're putting milk and sugar, or you're putting sugar in it, the sugar itself is what's going to cause you to have a more dampening effect. So for the purpose of this video, I'm going to talk about coffee as in black coffee. And then you can infer the benefits or detriments whether you put milk with it or you put sugar. Now, if you put a dash of milk in a black coffee, like a macchiato or something, and you just have a dash of sugar, or a dash of sugar, a dash of milk, versus, this much milk and this much coffee, like a cappuccino or a flat white or something, that's different. Okay, so a little bit of milk isn't going to be too much detriment. But if you're having like maybe 3 cups of coffee and there's lots of milk in each one, then that milk in itself could cause you some detriment. And then we go on from there. What about plant milks and other milks and things like that? So we're not going to get into the nitty-gritty of those things in this video today. We're just going to talk about caffeine in caffeinated coffee beans. So what does coffee do? It's a bean, comes from a bean. It's a roasted bean, and it's bitter. Its flavor is bitter. Now, different roasting techniques might make it less bitter or whatever, in creamier tasting and all that sort of stuff. But its nature is bitter. So, that in itself is going to have a downward action, a descending action, and a purgative action. So, bitter descends and it purges things out. Beans purge things out. So in Chinese medicine, if you're trying to tonify your body, if you're on certain herbs that are tonifying you, we often say don't eat beans, don't eat legumes. And coffee can be part of that purgative effect if you're having too much of it. So by too much, I would say more than one coffee a day will every extra coffee you have will increase these effects. And for some people, they get these detrimental effects on the first one. Now, what happens when you have a bitter purgative? Is it's going to stimulate your bowels. So by detrimental effects, it means you drink that coffee and you're running to the toilet, or you're getting your like urgency to go. Your bowels are moving. If you have chronic constipation and you drink coffee every day, you might not know that you have constipation because the bitter purgative effect of the coffee is just making your bowels go. So for some people, they stop having coffee because it's a new year. I thought that's one of the reasons why I thought I'd make this video. A lot of people think, oh, New Year's resolution, I'm going to quit coffee or quit alcohol, whatever. Those things are great. Like, that's a great, I'm not saying don't do that. But then they're like, well, I never had this constipation before. Why have I got this constipation? So it could be that, like, the caffeine has a stimulant effect like that, but the bitter purgative nature of the coffee, that's going to be much more different to if you're having caffeine from a leaf, like a tea, like yerba mate, or you're having tea, lots and lots of tea, which is, you're having caffeine, but it's not a bitter purgative as much as it is when it comes from a bean. That's one thing to remember. Okay. So coffee has that nature. Now, before it has that bitter purgative nature, it has a kind of effect on the liver qi or the wood element, and it kind of has a smoothing, a moving, it moves liver qi. So it's going to stimulate the wood element. And in Chinese medicine, we have five elements: wood, fire, earth, metal, and water. Now, after wood, it comes fire. Fire is your mental, emotional functions, your cognition. What it's doing is it's stimulating wood to move, to stimulate fire. And that's what happens when you drink a coffee and you're like, yeah, I feel good in the morning. I feel sharp. I feel like I can go. And or to function, people think I have to get up and get a coffee just to be able to function, because what it's doing is it's stimulating the wood. So it's a very similar effect to exercise. Not saying exercise would definitely do that for you, but like you drink a coffee and there's not really much effort in getting the coffee, right? I mean, maybe you have to drive to your coffee place and get it and things like that. Or you make it, you know, you press a button in your machine, you put a pot in and boom, it comes out, right? Boom, coffee. It's a lot of effort to exercise, and you don't get that benefit until you've been doing it for half an hour, right? Now, I'm not saying coffee and exercise are the same, but it has a similar effect on the wood element, right? So that when wood gets moving, its natural momentum is going to go up to fire, and that stimulate. Then you feel like, oh, I feel clear in my mind. I feel good. I feel stimulated. If you have more than one, and for some people, even on the first coffee, that can cause an overstimulation of fire. What happens then? You get jittery, you get, you can't concentrate properly, you're moving around a lot, you're talking really quickly. It could make your heart race, you could get heart palpitations. People get anxious, anxiety, sometimes that's worse from coffee, that kind of thing. And for some people then it means that they are so stimulated they can't sleep at night. People tell me, patients have told me things like this: if I have one coffee in the morning, I can't sleep at night at all, like even one coffee. Other patients, oh, I have a coffee half an hour before I go to bed, I can sleep fine, right? Because they have coffees all day long and they drink a lot of coffee, especially Italian people, right? They have coffee at night after dinner. And then that makes sense from a purgative effect, because if you've had a big, heavy pasta meal, you have a little bit of coffee, it's probably going to help to digest it and get that moving through you. So these benefits and detrimental effects may happen quicker for certain people depending on lots of things, your constitutional type, what other things you have in your diet, what season you're in life, like as in season of life, like are you elderly, are you young, are you middle-aged, that kind of stuff, what season of, you know, is it winter, is it summer, that kind of thing. Like all these things affect how our body works. Like are you deficient or are you, you know, not deficient, like, you know, you're strong and healthy, that kind of thing. So these effects will happen for everyone if you have a lot of coffee. So if you have five coffees, you'll probably have diarrhea or looser stools from those coffees. It may take more for some people to get that effect, but for in general, it's going to have that bitter purgative effect, right? It's going to have that overstimulation effect of your mind, of your mental functions. And for some people, that can cause them to be a bit less grounded. Like that's that jittery feeling, or they feel like heart palpitations, or they might easily get emotional or something like that. And that's that wood stimulating fire. So is coffee good for us? Is coffee bad for us? Most practitioners would agree that it's one coffee a day isn't going to be detrimental to you. So for most people that don't have spleen qi deficiency and don't have diarrhea, like, so if you already have loose stools, one coffee might be just making you just continue to have those loose stools, right? Or maybe even urgency to go, like you sort of like, oh, I've got to quickly go to the toilet, and maybe even explosive diarrhea or something like that. But if you don't have that, one coffee a day for most people is generally okay, as in they can tolerate that and they get the beneficial effects of it stimulating wood, stimulating fire. They don't get the jittery effects. And in Chinese medicine, it's basically, you can think of it as is moving qi, ensuring or making that qi flow smoothly or free flowing, right? It also can be a similar effect to having acupuncture. Many people feel that feeling, like a euphoric effect, maybe just feel like I can think better, I feel good, right? For most people, and they don't get that looser stool, certainly not stomach cramps or running to the toilet or something like that. Some people can tolerate two coffees a day without that detriment, but for most people, and in general, I would say, if I was going to be honest, and if you want to know what's healthy, I don't think it's that healthy to have more than two coffees a day on the regular. If you're looking for that coffee because you're so tired, like you're like, I'm ready to lie down in the I like I need to keep going at my job, or you're studying or something, and you know that is something that you'd want to address some other way if possible, rather than using coffee for that. When I was younger, I used to drink tons more coffee than I have now. Like, I do have a lot of coffee now, but I used to drink a lot, like when I was studying and things like that. And I never drank any alcohol. I just used to drink. I mean, sometimes I'd have a coffee. I was one of those people that would have a coffee before I went to bed, and I would sleep fine. Like, it wasn't, but it's not great for you. It's not a good thing. Still, we still wouldn't consider it to be that healthy, right? So over time, it depletes you. But when you're younger, you might not notice that depletion because you've got a lot of yang and you're not depleted, you know, at that point. But I used to always have this bad habit, even though I was really thin, of having sort of chocolate or sugar with it. I always wanted a little cake. Like, in the afternoon, I was like, oh, where's my little cake? Little cupcake or little thing, little chocolatey thing, and my coffee, right? I mean, I also used to live next door to this bakery. Like, I had my shop and my house. I lived behind my shop in Maylands, and I was like right next to this bakery that opened up, and it was like the best bakery. It's one of the best bakeries in Perth, and I was like, man, this was torture. Not knowing it was there and not going there. And I had this habit of like sort of, you know, getting coffee and cake almost every day. But even before that, so for some people, coffee itself is associated with doing other things, and those other things are the detrimental things. Like I said, we put milk with it. We put sugar with it. If you have a cake with it or something like that, then those things can kind of make it worse for you. So let's talk about if you have flat whites, lots of milk with the coffee. That purgative effect and the dampening part of that would be exacerbated, would be worse. Okay, for instance, like if you already had a looser stools, you might not even be able to have one. As soon as you have one coffee, you're kind of getting urgent to go, because the milk for many people can kind of cause bloating, or you know, that more of a purgative effect, and certainly dampness can kind of be a part of that. So we can say that coffee has two effects. One is it moves qi, and the other one is it has a dampening effect and a purgative effect on the intestines, on the lower jowl, right? If you put milk with the coffee and you're having three or four coffees a day and a lot of milk, you're probably going to have a lot of that dampening effect. Now, when we talk about foods, there's something to consider is like your lifestyle, enjoyment. Like, if you take all these things out of life and you've got no enjoyment and you hate your life, like, that's not good either, right? So it's about balancing things and working out for yourself, is this thing causing me detriment? And if I don't have it in my life, is that causing me even more detriment, or is there some, you know, can I get by without it? Or maybe I go without it for a little while, and I know, I see what, you know, this is where it gets to be more psychological, right? Why am I having all this coffee? Do I really need it? For me, I like the taste of it. Like, I enjoy, it's an enjoyment, and a lot of people have that. They enjoy that. Now, you could ask yourself, could I enjoy something else, right? Another good way of substituting or not having as many coffees would be to have herbal tea, and you make that tea instead of the coffee. So you still have that same ritual of kind of making something, you're heating the water up, you're doing something. And you know, for many people, coffee, and this happens to many of my patients when they quit cigarettes, they quit smoking, they realize that the cigarette break was a break from work. So we're actually able to get up off their desk and go outside and have a smoke. And that in itself was a little bit of a break, a little bit of relief from their daily grind. And then suddenly they're sort of at their desk and they're like, well, what do I do? Go outside and just stand outside? They were kind of allowed to because it was a cigarette break, right? And it's like sometimes when we stop doing something, we realize that there was other reasons why we were doing things, or other benefits we're getting out of it. So if you stop having coffee and you think, oh, I'll just drink water and I'll leave my water on my desk, well, you're no longer getting up out of your desk, going over to the place, or going outside and going to the coffee thing. I mean, you may save money because you're not having to buy coffee, but I think you get what I'm saying. Like, there are other things maybe to consider that you're getting, that you're, why you're doing these things, and what benefit your body's getting out of it, to not just stop doing that whole routine altogether. So you can get up, make yourself a herbal tea, experiment with different flavors, things like that. If you're going to quit coffee for the new year or you're trying to reduce the coffee, be very careful that you don't replace it with something worse. Sugary drinks, and sweet drinks. So if you're drinking coffee and it's always sweet, you have more than you've any sugar in it, your body's going to be used to that sweet flavor. It's not the bitter actual coffee flavor that you probably enjoy. You enjoy the sweet flavor. So be careful that you don't replace it with, goodness forbid, we think about sugary canned drinks, like those sorts of things, diet drinks, like that could be worse than the coffee itself that you were having. What is the best thing to drink? Cheers. So if you can, you could try to space out your coffee with water. If you're a person that drinks a lot of coffee and you're like, maybe I shouldn't drink as much, or I'd like to drink less. But hopefully this video has been useful and helpful to kind of understand a little bit of how coffee works and what it does. Now, if you have liver cheese stagnation, coffee is generally going to help you for the first one. Like, you'll feel better if you have cheese stagnation because it moves qi, right? So if that's been part of your diagnosis in Chinese medicine. If you have dampness, coffee probably won't make you feel good. If you have in TCM, a pattern called like heart fire. This is not a diagnosis we would use in classical Chinese medicine at all, but like this idea of like anxiety and, restlessness of the upper part of the body and the heart in Chinese medicine also could sometimes be considered the pericardium. These are TCM diagnoses that I'm getting at now. Coffee probably won't make you feel good from those, if you have those diagnoses. I don't think it would be helpful to you at all. A lot of people have qi stagnation because it's caused by too much sitting and too much thinking and not enough physical outlet and not enough mental outlet for the things, right? That's one way it's so going for a little walk in the lunchtime, doing some stretches, doing some movement, stuff like that can also be ways of promoting that qi stagnation in the time where you're stopping having the coffee. Another thing to consider if you're thinking about quitting coffee or having less of it is the addiction to the caffeine itself. So caffeine is a highly addictive substance. Many people think that were it to come on the market now, as in were it to be suddenly discovered in, the era that we're in now, that it would have been a restricted substance. I mean, you could argue that the government just wants to restrict everything that they can monetize, but it is what it is. It's a freely available substance right now, right? It is a highly addictive substance. So you will get caffeine withdrawal symptoms when you stop having caffeine. Now, why do you get those withdrawal symptoms? What are they? For most people, it's a headache, headaches. Drinking plenty of water will help, and to know that those symptoms will go away. Now, do this in consultation with your doctor or your GP, general practitioner. And certainly, if you have undiagnosed symptoms or things like that, you're not sure of that, you have headaches out of the blue, then go and have those things checked. Don't use YouTube as a replacement for medicine. But it's normal to have headaches, as a caffeine withdrawal headache. If you have five coffees a day and then the next day you don't have any, and by lunchtime you might have a headache. Okay, so you could reduce the likelihood of that by cutting down rather than just stopping cold turkey, or knowing that you're going to stop, knowing that those headaches might happen, and doing stuff to kind of manage that pain or manage those headaches, or stopping over the weekend versus doing it at work or something like that. Not picking a day where you're really like, you're doing brain surgery that day and you're like, oh man, I can't. Pick your time is what I'm getting at. Pick your moment and be aware that that can happen. So why does that happen? Because caffeine opens blood vessels. It makes blood vessels expand. And so if you're having a certain amount of caffeine all the time, your blood vessels are used to being bigger than they normally are in your brain. And then you suddenly stop having it and they go back to normal size. And that is that caffeine withdrawal headache. So it's basically a restriction of blood flow in there. So sometimes using hot packs can help to relieve that kind of pain because heat can also open up blood vessels. It's not going to, you can't put a hot pack, right in your head, but like just having a hot pack around the back base of your neck. Sometimes caffeine withdrawal headaches can feel a bit similar to musculoskeletal type of, tension and tightness. if you're withdrawing from a substance like caffeine, you're probably going to feel irritable and angry and a bit, snarky and things like that, because you're used to having that caffeine moving that wood element and it's suddenly not doing that. So think about other things you could do to move your wood element, to move that liver chi instead. Some of the things are singing, laughing, exercise, put your hands on your hips and press on your gallbladder 25, so at the end of your ribs. You can press on your gallbladder 21 here, you can do the tapping, those kind of points, and you can just kind of rub on the side of your body, that gallbladder channel. Like, those are little things you can do to kind of get that chi, that liver chi, that gallbladder chi, which is all part of the wood element, moving. So hopefully this video has been a bit useful and helpful to you to understand how coffee affects our body. It can cause dampness. It has a purgative, a downward draining purgative effect. It can have a chi moving effect. It can have an overstimulation of the wood and then the fire element and make us kind of get a bit anxious or jittery, or to the excess of not even being able to sleep. Things like that, overstimulation of fire, of our mental functions. So I hope this has been useful and helpful to you. And if it has, leave me a comment, click the subscribe button, and I look forward to seeing you again in another video soon.